when we work with groups on the subject of anger. That's a good feeling to teach us nonviolent communication, because anger tells us that we are disconnected from our needs, which are the central part of nonviolent communication. And anger tells us we're thinking in a way that creates violence on the planet. I was working on this subject with a group of prisoners in a prison, and one of them was very angry on this particular day, and I asked him what the stimulus for his anger was. What did somebody do that is triggering his anger? I could just tell he was so angry. He said, "I made a request to the prison officials 2 weeks ago for some job training. I still haven't heard from them." I said, "Yeah, that tells me what the stimulus was for your anger. Now, what's the cause of your anger?" He said, "I just told you." And I said, "Oh, no, you remember from our previous session, I tried to make clear to you that it's never what other people do that makes us angry. It's how we think that makes us angry. So what are you telling yourself that's making you angry?" He said, "I don't know what you're talking about. People can make you angry." I said, "No, people can't make you angry. If you followed me around in my work, you'd see this very clearly. For example, when I'm working in several places around the world where there's been a lot of violence, such as Rwanda, I was working with a group of people, all of whom had had at least one member of their family killed. And some of them were so angry that all they could live for was vengeance and think of getting back at the other people. And some of the people who had had horrible things happen to them were not angry. They weren't repressing the anger or denying it, but they were not thinking in a way that creates the anger. So not even something as dramatic as having a member of one's family killed can make you angry." So I said to this prisoner, "So what are you telling yourself that does make you angry?" And after a moment he said, "Well, I'm telling myself it isn't fair. I need the training that I requested. And they're just, you know, ignoring me and treating me like I'm nothing." And he went on to give several other statements of the judgments that he had of the prison officials for not having gotten back to him about his request for job training. I said, "Okay, now you've answered my question of what causes your anger. Anger is caused by how you think. You think language that is disconnected from your needs and makes violence enjoyable." As the Christian theologian Walter Wink said, we've been educated for many years, thousands of years, to make violence enjoyable. See, all you need to do to make violence enjoyable is think there's bad guys and that these bad guys deserve to suffer for what they've done, and it can make it enjoyable for you to create pain for these people. So anger is a very valuable feeling. It tells us we are perpetuating the thinking that creates that kind of anger. So with this prisoner, I showed him that it's valuable then, when you are angry, to be conscious that you're angry because of your own thinking and not because of what the other person did. The other person's action is a stimulus for your anger, but not the cause. The cause is your thinking. Then I said to him, it's also very important, once you have identified the thinking that causes your anger, it's important to be conscious that that thinking is a tragic, suicidal expression of an unmet need. See, anger tells us, in other words, that a need of ours isn't getting met. But our thinking doesn't connect with that need. Our connection goes to judging the other person who is the stimulus in a way that creates the anger. So I said to this prisoner, now go behind those judgments that you're making of the prison officials for not responding to your request for some job training. And what's the need behind all these judgments, that they're not being fair, they're treating you like you don't exist? What's the need that's behind all that thinking? He thought for a moment and said, I need to develop myself. I need skills for developing myself so I can earn a living when I get out of here. Otherwise, I'm going to end up back in here very quickly. Then I said to him, now, how are you feeling at this moment that your attention is on those needs? And he said, I'm scared. You see, we cannot be angry when we're connected to life. And what I mean by connected to life is to be connected to our needs or to the needs of others. We can only be angry when we get disconnected from life and go up to our head and think in a way we have been programmed to think in terms of wrongness of the other person. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being angry. That would be unfortunate if I come across that way, because a lot of people have been educated to think that if you're a nice person, you don't get angry, and they've been taught to repress their anger. So I'm certainly not saying that. I'm saying the opposite. Anger is a friend of ours. It tells us we're thinking in a way that's contributing to violence on the planet. We're a part of that violence, and anger wakes us up and gives us a chance to transform our thinking to a kind of thinking that creates peace on our planet. So I said to him, notice how differently you feel when you're in touch with your needs than when you're judging the other people. When you tell me that you're scared, that you're not going to get that need met. And he said, that's right. Now I said to him, you tell me you have an appointment to talk to them later this afternoon, the prison officials? He said, yes. I said, do you think you're more likely to get your needs met if you go in there thinking of what's wrong with them for not having contacted you by now and feeling angry about that? Or are you more likely to get your needs met if you go in there connected to your need for wanting to develop yourself and aware of your fear that you may not develop those skills? No matter what you might say to them, do you think you are more likely to come out with your needs met if in your head you have judgments of them implying wrongness on their part, or if you are conscious of your needs? He said, it's obvious. I'm much more likely to come out of there with what I want if I go in conscious of my needs. I said, I'm glad you see that. And at that moment, he walked over to the other side of the room and sat down and had a very sad look on his face. And I said to him, hey, what's going on? And he looked at me and said, I can't talk about it right now. After lunch, he came up to me and said with great sorrow in his voice, Marshall, I wish you had taught me 2 years ago about anger, what you taught me this morning. If I had known that 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had to have killed my best friend. And then he went on to tell me this tragic story about how the friend said some things that just totally outraged him. And then he was thinking that he was angry at his friend for saying those things. He wasn't aware that the friend didn't cause his anger, the statements didn't cause his anger. It was how he thought about them that caused his anger, and he saw that if he could have connected to what his friend's needs were behind what the friend said, or if he had been connected to his own needs at that moment, there would have been ways of finding out strategies for meeting everybody's needs, and he wouldn't have had to have killed his best friend. So this principle is very important to liberating ourselves from language which is not conducive to our well-being or peace on the planet. And the awareness is that all language that implies wrongness, that is a criticism, insult, diagnosis of pathology of others, all such language is the cause of anger. Other people are never the cause, only the stimulus. The cause of anger is our thinking. And that thinking that causes the anger is a distorted expression of an unmet need. A distorted expression that not only interferes with getting the need met, but makes it enjoyable to be violent to others. So, whenever we're angry, nonviolent communication shows us how to stop, breathe, become conscious of what you are telling yourself that makes you angry? And when you see the thinking that makes you angry, transform it into the need that it's distorting. Ask yourself, wait a minute, what need of mine is not getting met that's being expressed through judgment of the other person? And you'll know that you have gotten connected to your need. Your body will tell you so. Your spirit will tell you so. We live in a different world when we are connected to what is alive in us, meaning our needs. We live in a different world than when we are up in our head judging other people in terms of rightness and wrongness.